This is the Suno India production and you're listening to Cyber Democracy. In cyberspace, a bug is an error in a software program which may cause malfunctions like shutting down a system or behave in an unexpected manner. Across the world, security researchers report thousands of these critical security bugs to firms offering a bounty. Cybersecurity is not just another issue for these people, it is their bread and butter. A sizable number of Indians are in this line of career. According to the bug bounty platform HackerOne, Indians earn 10% of global bug bounties, second only to the United States. While Indians are highly skilled in this sector, it is not easy to report cybersecurity issues to various government departments in India. Often, Indian cybersecurity agencies deny and completely ignore the warnings made by security researchers. To discuss the ecosystem of cybersecurity and bug reporting in India, we have with us Karan Saini, a young security researcher and bug bounty hunter.
Welcome to the Cyber Democracy podcast, Karan. So you've been a bug bounty security researcher where you reported a bunch of security issues to international firms. Can you tell us some of the famous security issues that you might have reported that are publicly acknowledged?
Some of the more known ones that I've reported, I would say, Aadhaar definitely makes an appearance there. So this is, I think, March last year in 2018, I had reported a data leak, you'd call it, in the Indian Gas's web API, where I had the ability to query anyone's Aadhaar number and then receive details about their gas connection, their approximate location, and even their name and where they had their bank accounts. That one, I think, was one of the most impactful, I'd say, in terms of the number of people it affected. Because so other bugs I usually find, they only affect customers of like a, you know, say, of like a private entity, whereas when it comes to, say, Indian Oil or like HP or, you know, any other of these oil companies, you're not really expecting to have your information leaked. So I think with that Aadhaar leak, that was around 600 million potential people that could have been affected, though I never really got anywhere close to getting that information because that would be wrong. But apart from that, there was a bug I had found on the systems of this American telecom service provider known as T-Mobile. So there's one of the, I think, online portals had an API which their web their app would query to, you know, return information about yourself, and you could just provide the phone number of someone else in that API request and get really sensitive information about them, like their SIM cards, IMSI number, I think even their billing address, you know, like a lot of sensitive information that you wouldn't expect someone to get just from your phone number. And that bug, actually T-Mobile ended up paying a bug bounty of, I think, $1,000. This was sometime in 2017, I believe. And yeah, apart from that, I think another one of the bugs that has been publicly acknowledged, sadly, like a lot of the bugs I find remain undisclosed. It's usually either due to, you know, time constraints about writing a blog post, or they're usually not fixed on time. But another bug I found was on the systems of Comcast, which is an American internet service provider, where I had the ability to retrieve the name and Wi-Fi router password for any of their customers by just knowing a few bits of information. And then you would have access to that customer's wireless router without the ability of being locked out. So you'd always find a way back in there. And those are only the ones that have been publicly disclosed. Otherwise, there's always interesting bugs that you know, you just come across when just generally browsing websites too. I'm sure you would know.
What do you do when you discover a bug? Do you report them within a day? Do you try to look at its impact? How do you report them? And have there been issues of, say, getting the bug out in media? What do you do? Do you have a framework on these steps that you follow when you discover a bug?
So it's not always, you know, like a tried and tested formula. For each bug that's discovered, it takes you a certain amount of time to be satisfied that you know every component it's affecting. So if I find a bug which I think, you know, discloses, say, a certain amount of information about a website's users, but I have an inkling that it may affect more people or it may give access to more data than what I currently know it does, then you obviously spend some time to play around with it and find out what's actually possible. So in terms of framework of when you discover the possible existence of a bug and then how much time it takes to report, I don't think I follow any concrete sort of method. But always I do try to make sure that when I am interacting with a bug which, you know, potentially gives access to sensitive data or like sensitive functions of a website, that you try to not interact with someone else's accounts. If I have a feeling that I can access all other customers' home addresses, for instance, I would create another account and just test it myself that, okay, this is possible, then, you know, let's go ahead and report it. And in terms of sending out the report, usually what I do is I will wait until I found at least a few bugs on the same service, if that's possible. And then I send out an email batching all the bugs together, because if you contain all the information in one communication, you have like a higher likelihood of all of it being fixed.
I guess there are some of the rules on how you report these issues depending upon each company, right? Some of them who pay you for these bugs, they have a certain rules that you have to follow. And if you abuse them, they do not give you any amount for that. So how much do you normally get paid for it? You said, yes, for one bug, you got paid for $1,000. Are the people making a living out of it? Clearly, there seem to be a lot of reports that India is a major market for BugCrowd and HackerRank, which are major bug bounty platforms.
Yeah, there are quite a few people who, and certainly people I've met at, say, hacking conferences like NullCon and other security conferences in India, who have made a career in information security just out of getting started from bug bounties, and people who still use bug bounties to make a decent living. In fact, I think someone, an ex-engineer from Flipkart, had famously found and disclosed a bunch of high-paying bugs in Facebook and the dating app Tinder and a few other services, where I would say he's paid more than what engineers make in a year. So I would say that bug bounties are a lucrative way of making a living in India. And yeah, certainly on HackerOne and BugCrowd, you would notice that on all programs, you would find that most of the reports that are incoming are from people from India. So we do have a lot of ethical hackers here, which is, I guess, a good strength for our country, considering that we are trying to, you know, up our cyber defense and offense capabilities. So hopefully the people that are working on bug bounties now, 5 years down the line, will also be working on securing the entire nation.
Speaking more about India, why is it so hard reporting a security issue in India? Like, I have tried doing it. They never acknowledge it. They never even try to understand how big the security issue is. And there is lack of engagement from the security agencies with people who are reporting security bugs. What's your feeling about this? Did you have hard time reporting security bugs in India? Was it easy?
When we're talking about reporting bugs to the Indian government, I think we had published a report which documented exactly the troubles that ethical hackers or white hat hackers had when reporting bugs on like government infrastructure. So there's organizations like CERT-IN and the NCIIPC and even the National Informatics Center's Computer Emergency Response Team. These organizations are tasked with receiving vulnerability disclosures from individuals. So as you said, like whenever I have submitted bugs to them, at least whenever I've submitted bugs to, say, CertIn, which is usually when it's not affecting something which is outright critical infrastructure. So say it could be vulnerability on a major Indian email provider, for instance. You'd find that they are really unresponsive. And it's sort of unclear how, after having reported an issue to the affected party themselves, what CERT can do to sort of force their hand into fixing it. But yeah, I would say people are mostly frustrated with, submitting reports and then not hearing back from the government. And I think that's one of the major issues, which is why people just sort of get frustrated. And instead of reporting bugs to non-paying programs of the Indian government, they just sort of migrate to bug bounties, which actually do, pay them and give them a meaningful return for their time and effort.
One way I've noticed that most researchers try to force the government or force some of these security agencies to acknowledge these security issues is by getting these things out in the media. And clearly there are always denials. So how do you engage with journalists, like specifically Indian journalists and say journalists abroad? You've done both. How easy it is for them to understand how these security dynamics play?
So I will actually cite the recent incident of the Kodunkulam nuclear power plant, when Pukhraj Singh sort of made the disclosure publicly after Kaspersky's report that had come out about DTRAC. The nuclear authority almost immediately came out and said that this is not an issue, that systems are not affected. I mean, although they did come out later and say that one system in particular was affected, but it didn't affect any control systems. So you will find that the government agencies themselves most times are dismissive about issues that are reported. They will either undermine them or just say that they don't exist completely. And in most cases, when like a prominent disclosure comes forward, like say the Aadhaar report, it is sort of a he said, he said, she said, where you will present your case and then the government will present theirs. And at one point, it just sort of disappears from public memory. It's almost as if the issue had no resolution at all. But in terms of engaging with journalists, I've usually found that there are good technology reporters and media organizations that want to understand the issue from the perspective of the person who's found and reported it. Although there will certainly be organizations which treat you with a degree of skepticism and, sometimes will outrightly just print completely misleading information about certain bugs. We saw that happening with the recent Kodunkulam incident, that people were speculating that it had, affected systems way beyond what it actually had. Somehow the intention was, much more sinister than what had actually happened. But I think that's a problem with tech reporting everywhere. Journalists either knowingly or mistakenly get it wrong. But that's fine. And I think it's, as people working with security, it sort of becomes your duty to educate people in the media that you work with, to make them see that when you're reporting a certain issue, you have to handle it in a certain manner, that these disclosures, if you can obviously blow them out of proportion and make it alarmist.
Do you think all of this will change with the new data protection law, which might bring in, say, forensic investigations and reports, where people will actually know what has transpired? That way there are no misunderstandings of what a security bug has done.
I think that, a data protection law would certainly help with that. But I think a lot of it lies on the hands of media persons and journalists who represent the issue and bring it to the public light as they do now. But I mean, I think a data protection law would certainly be more beneficial than our current system. And if such a law could also provide protection for people who are performing ethical hacking or, performing white hat security research, I think that would certainly be a good improvement for our current stand as well. Because I think as of now, we have a few sections in the IT Act which sort of put a, you know, legal gray area on the kind of work that security researchers and hackers do. So you could potentially at any moment be charged with, say, violating any of the sections of the IT Act if you are reporting bugs as of now, which is something which obviously I know plagues a lot of people in the Indian security community. So if a data protection law could alter people's current way of dealing with, you know, security disclosures and like reports which out vulnerabilities, then I think that would be very useful.
That's something I'm really hoping for. But under the current draft law, like that was made public under Sri Krishna committee, there are restrictions on de-anonymization of data. Like the draft law says that any identification of anonymized data would be considered a crime. But that's like, if you are in India, you can't do this. But for, say, a security researcher abroad who may not be subject to Indian laws, say someone like the guy who goes on Twitter, Ilit Alderson, with a pseudonym, obviously these laws will not apply to him. And if, say, he can de-anonymize any anonymized data, and or someone else who could do this to misuse it, shouldn't the government allow Indian researchers to do this and report them? As you're saying, shouldn't they be giving some sort of a framework for people to ethically report these issues? I believe the UK data protection law is trying to do this.
Certainly. I mean, if the new data protection law that comes in does deal with the identification of anonymized data as has been put, it could potentially affect certain kinds of bugs that are discovered by ethical hackers. I'm sure, you know, hackers being the crafty people they are will find some way around that legal liability as well. Let's hope that this particular clause or the restrictions that you spoke of are not in the final act. But even if they are, then I think certainly enacting a new framework or publicizing the government's current policies as to how they will treat ethical hackers or just researchers acting in good faith would put a lot of people at ease. And considering that we have a high volume of people in India, especially young people who are savvy with technology and are also active like ethical hackers, and I think that's something that's really required. Otherwise, you have just a large population of highly skilled people that might be at risk from their own state, even though that they're trying to help it.
When a company knows that it's been breached, it will be the duty of the company to report it to regulatory agencies. Even under the current IT Act framework, you're required to tell the Ministry of Electronics and IT that you have been breached recently. Now, under a data protection law, I think you will probably have to report to the data protection authority. But the authority is not under an obligation to inform every individual who has been affected because of it. Take the case of the WhatsApp case, right? WhatsApp, with the help of Citizen Lab, helped a lot of people know that they were being spied upon by potentially the Indian government, one of the agencies of the Indian government. While none of the Indian entities let them know that, yeah, they are being under surveillance or they have been affected because of this hack. How does one can claim damages from a data protection authority if they are not being informed by the data protection authority in future that they were affected because of a hack? Should companies report these to the individuals directly that they've been affected, or it should be the job of the DPA? How should this work?
You're right that the DPA has the sole sort of decision-making power there, or I think at least in terms of interest, the DPA would be more obliged to disclose to customers that their data has been compromised. Although I think the data protection law should mandate this sort of reportage from the company itself that has been affected. Because certainly there might be cases where data which is not immediately apparent that it can be used for causing financial damage or stealing someone's identity has been breached. But say data that can be combined with other personal information that is you know, that may be available with, say, marketing agencies or in government databases, when it can be combined with that sort of data to build a deep dossier of an individual, which, you know, lets you, say, assume their identity or open a bank account in their name, whatnot, or even just gives you insights to their financial activities, such as how much money they spend, how often they spend it, where they spend it. I think the data protection law should actually warrant companies to disclose any breach of customer data, no matter how serious it is deemed to be by the company or by the data protection authority itself. Because when you're signing up with any service, you sort of give them access to your information and you would trust them to keep it safe. And when that contract between you and that company is broken, you have a right to know, regardless of what the data protection authority would decide in that case. So I think that potential clause is quite counterproductive, because if you do want people to know when their data has been compromised, you would rather have mandatory disclosures from the side of the company itself anytime there's been a breach.
Also, under the current draft framework, so say you're one of the parties who have been affected by a breach and you want to approach the data protection authority claiming compensations, right? That, look, company A, like say Facebook, has breached your data and you as an individual wants Facebook to be fined for it. And under the proposed law, the DPA can actually fine them almost 5% of their global profits or revenues. But for an individual to get any of this compensation, I believe one has to show harm. Unless the individual is able to show harm, I don't think he can claim compensation for the data breach. I mean, how hard do you think is it going to be for a normal individual to actually go show to the data protection authority that they have been affected?
I will draw an interesting parallel here in terms of the Yahoo data breach, which happened, and the Equifax data breach that happened in the US. When customers there are getting their settlement from having been affected by the breach, harm they have mentioned doesn't have to be only financial. It can be the amount of time you put in making sure all of your accounts were safe after the breach took place. It, I think, as far as I know, it can also be psychological trauma that you went to from having found out that your data was stolen. But in terms of purely gathering the technical details of any damage that may arise from your credentials being leaked by company A, I would imagine that's not quite an easy task for everyone to perform. It would probably only be people specialized in both law and technology that would go out and even file such a complaint. So that is, I mean, you know, having to display the sort of harm actually would restrict people from attempting to claim any sort of settlement or fine from the offending company. If harm is, you know, sort of defined as access to other information of yours, you know, if it isn't well defined or if it isn't broadly defined, I would say, then you could potentially have a clause which is not really of any use in actuality.
So, Karan, do you have any tips for upcoming bounty hunters or young security researchers who might be trying to get into the field, like once the data protection law comes in and there is increased scope for more people to get jobs in the space?
My primary advice would be, while bug bounty hunting is a great way to learn and also to make a living, there are other great ways to learn as well, and those which will sort of help make sure that you have a sustainable career in information security. So while I started initially with, you know, testing out on bug bounty platforms, you initially jump into, say, capture the flag events, and then, you know, you start attending a few conferences and such, and then you sort of widen your scope of what you interact with and what you hack on. In terms of any tips, always test on systems where you have authorization to do so, especially with the uncertainty that the new data protection law might bring. You don't want to end up being possibly facing punitive action from a company or organization where you report bugs. In that regard, there's platforms like Srinivas had mentioned, HackerOne and BugCrowd, which have companies that are looking for bug reports. So you can just go there and adhere to the scope and find, cool bugs to report. And yeah, in terms of sort of people looking to make an entry into the security field, I would say that bug bounties are a great way to get started. And they also provide a great incentive. But like I said previously, to slowly expand your scope beyond that, and then you can start participating in the wider information security field.
Thank you, Karan. Thank you for joining us on Cyber Democracy. Thank you for listening to the episode of Cyber Democracy. You can listen to this podcast on sonoindia.in or any other podcast app of your choice. As independent producers, we rely on you, our listeners, to support us. So please visit the support page on our website, sonoindia.in, and contribute generously.